What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, amigos. You know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Please help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. And if you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in, give me a thumb. Say hello while you're at it. It helps me a ton with the algorithm. And besides, it's real nice to see you there. And now, on to the show. Welcome back, friend. It's a very special holiday today, and I have to insist you all observe this one. It's March 14th, Steak and a Blowjob Day. Apparently, this was created as an answer to Valentine's Day the month before. And while I'm not so sure how official this one is, I'll say this much. I'll take the former medium rare, and the latter well done, please. Chester likes them both raw, he says. But enough of the innuendos, friend. This is a family show. So let's head inside and get busy. And remember, you can also celebrate by visiting SimplyScaryPodcast.com and becoming a patron. For as little as $7.99 a month, you can get our entire catalog ad-free and available to download or stream. So tonight, we welcome back R.K. Combrink by way of our friends at Velox Books. This one comes from his very popular book, These Lonely Places, which I cannot recommend enough. It's a tale of dark affairs and supernatural consequences, and it's not at all for the faint of heart, or stomach for that matter. So without further delay, from author R.K. Combrink, I give you Celino. Calvin pulled into the driveway and parked behind a battered old Dodge pickup. He stepped into the heavy August heat and began to sweat immediately, his glasses fogging over. He wiped them clear with the bottom of his t-shirt and looked around the yard. There was a slovenly row of tall bushes lining the driveway on the left. On the other side was a large uneven lawn that looked like it hadn't been mowed in weeks. It was more yellow than green, and there were balding patches scattered across it. In the upper right corner near the house was a thick, gnarled tree, its roots clutching the soil like long, arthritic fingers. It had no leaves, and many of its limbs hung broken and dry near the top. It didn't seem to know it was dead. The house itself was one of the 10,000 or more identical homes that made up the sprawling Northwood subdivision. It was little more than a wooden box set down on a cement slab and wrapped in cheap yellow siding. The windows were old. They didn't lock properly anymore and could be opened easily from the outside. There was no basement. The garage was too small for either his or Celia's car to fit in. At the house inspection, the contractor took them into the cramped attic to show them that there was no insulation, and then showed them a long crack that cut across the peeling plaster of the ceiling. Calvin and Celia thanked him for his time and bought the house anyway. They didn't explain that the mortgage their credit and income had secured was only enough to get them a place like this. Celia, 7 months pregnant, desperately wanted a house, and she wanted to be able to move in quickly. Hello? Anybody in here? Calvin stepped inside, crossed the empty living room, and peeked into the narrow kitchen. There was a hammer and a grout scraper lying discarded on the grimy floor, where someone had been pulling up old tile. The stove had been pulled out, exposing an ugly gash in the wall and three cockroaches on their backs. As Calvin watched, one of them twitched its thin black legs weakly as it tried to right itself. He wrinkled his nose and stepped back into the living room. Hey, he called out. Nick? Nick was the young carpenter who had been hired to make the repairs they had asked for in their contract. The pickup in the driveway belonged to him. Calvin walked down the hallway past the coat closet and the furnace room to where the bedrooms and bathroom were. He could see from the hallway that they were all empty. He stepped into the master bedroom, a ceiling fan slowly stirring the stale air. Sunshine spilled through the naked windows, filling the room with golden warmth. Calvin adjusted his glasses on his face and smiled. Despite his misgivings about sinking their money and time into a house that was not in great shape, he thought that they could be very happy here. Then he thought of Elaine, and his smile faltered. His chest tightened and his head began to buzz with guilt. With effort, he pushed the thought away. He would be ending the thing with Elaine in a day or so, and no one would ever find out about it. He and Celia would have a beautiful life together, enjoying their new family and their new home. He forced the muscles of his face to make a smile. It wasn't too big of a smile, nothing ostentatious. He didn't want to overdo it. It was just a small, satisfied grin. The longer he kept it there on his face, the more real it became. After a few seconds, he pretended to be okay again. Then someone who had been hiding quietly in the shadows of the hallway strode forward and struck Calvin at the base of his skull with something heavy, knocking him unconscious to the floor. Calvin slowly realized that he was awake. His eyes were squeezed tightly shut. His head felt like someone had been setting fireworks off inside of it. The further into consciousness he climbed, the more stunning the pain became. With a grimace, he tried to rub the back of his neck and realized that he couldn't move his arm. His eyelids flew open with panic, and he jerked his head around to find out what was wrong. A swift bolt of agony shot through his skull and a tiny whimper spilled out of his mouth. He closed his eyes, trying to will his head to stop pounding. That's when he heard a raspy man's voice from somewhere above him.
You awake over there?
Whoever it was sounded weary, almost disinterested. Calvin tried to ask, "Where am I?" But all that came out was a moan.
You all right? I imagine your head hurts pretty bad. I'm sorry about that.
A wave of dizziness swept through Calvin as he tried to turn his body towards the sound of the voice. He opened his eyes again, and the first thing he saw was filthy warped linoleum that looked like it had once been an avocado color, but had faded to a moldy gray-green. He was lying on the floor. As he struggled to lift his head, he realized why his arms didn't work. They had been tightly bound at the wrists, stretched above his head. He tried to move his legs and discovered, with a sinking feeling, that he was also bound at the ankles. He could move his legs up and down at the knees, but he couldn't get them underneath him to stand up. Calvin's heart began pounding in time with his head. Fear and bile bubbled up from his stomach and into the back of his throat. He could see a pair of legs a few feet away. He could also see the scarred wooden legs of the chair that the man was sitting on. Calvin couldn't raise his head far enough to see any more of the man except for the barest glimpse of what looked like a blue work shirt. Calvin coughed as he tried to speak.
Who are you? Reason you can't move your arms and legs is 'cause I've got them duct taped together. I hate to do that, but I can't have you getting up.
The man's tone was as casual as if he had been discussing the weather. Calvin strained against the tape wrapped around his wrists and ankles. He rolled to his side so he could face his captor.
Why are you doing this? Who are you?
The man in the chair didn't say anything for a long time. He sat there, occasionally taking a drink off something. At least that's what it sounded like he was doing. After a few minutes of silence, the man spoke.
I'm your neighbor. Well, I'd have been your neighbor if you had the chance to move in.
There was a pause as the man took another drink.
As for why I'm doing this, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to tell you that. I guess I ought to, considering how unpleasant it's going to be for you.
Calvin swallowed hard. His heart was racing and his arms and legs ached to be free. His glasses slid down his sweaty nose and came to rest against the tip. It was maddening. He was desperate to adjust them, but he couldn't get his forearms close enough to his face to do it. They were just a little too stubby, a little too thick.
What?
He was on his side, trying to lean as far back as possible without toppling over onto his back.
Unpleasant? Unpleasant how?
He wanted to sound tough, aggressive, but his words spilled out in a nasally whine.
What are you going to do to me?
The man in the chair breathed a heavy sigh. Calvin heard a lighter being flicked and a quick intake of breath. The smell of cigarette smoke wafted across the room.
I'm going to tell you right now, sir, that you won't believe me. You won't understand why I'm doing this. But I've been living like this too goddamn long. And I just can't stand another fucking day of it.
His voice cracked on the last word, and Calvin realized the man was crying.
You gotta understand, first off, that I know this is all my own fault. I know that I done wrong. And I guess I always knew that shit like that can come back on you. Karma and whatnot. But I never would have believed that any person deserves the kind of punishment I've been taking for the last few months.
The man uttered a rueful laugh.
Shit. I still don't exactly believe it. I usually think that I'm just a crazy lunatic, locked up somewhere, and this is all just in my head. I go on thinking that till she comes back at night. And then I know it's all real. That's when I know. I'll never be able to enjoy another day of my life.
The man's words became choked with sobs.
Not another sunny day or blue sky. Not another song or steak dinner. Nothing.
Suddenly, something whizzed through the air and shattered against the wall across from where the man was sitting. Calvin guessed that he had thrown the cup he had been drinking from. The man stood up from his chair and began pacing. Calvin watched the dirty boots sticking out underneath the cuffs of the man's jeans as they circled the room.
Oh, Christ. Oh, fuck me, fuck!
The man slammed his fist against the wall of the kitchen and began weeping bitterly. Calvin's terror was immense, his thoughts racing wildly inside his sore head. He was clearly at the mercy of a psychopath who was going to hurt him, and hurt him bad. Oh God, Calvin's mind screamed. You're going to die. He's going to torture you and murder you, and you are going to be dead." He began to flop around on the floor like a fish on the shore, screaming. The man in the kitchen stopped crying with an alarming suddenness. He clomped over and swung a hard kick into Calvin's side.
"You're gonna need to keep your mouth shut now, friend." His voice was low and cold. "I feel sorry for you, I really do. I wish it didn't have to be like this. But I've already made up my mind and this is gonna happen. I am not gonna have you yelling your head off and somebody maybe hearing you."
Calvin heard the man plop back down into his wooden chair.
"Do that again and I'll tape up your mouth along with your arms and legs. I only didn't gag you because I feel sorry for you, but I will in a heartbeat if you make me."
Calvin groaned. His ribs ached and his back throbbed. He closed his eyes, his panic replaced with a weariness that pulled him further into the floor. His head slumped against the faded tile and exhaustion numbed his fear. No one spoke for what seemed like a very long time. The only sounds were the ones that came from the man lighting another cigarette and the occasional creak of his chair. Calvin was beginning to sink into a black daze when the man started talking again.
"You know what? Fuck her. Do I deserve this shit? No. Do you deserve this shit? Hell no. Did that carpenter deserve what happened to him? Nope. Even though he did seem to be a massive prick."
Suddenly Calvin was awake again. He moved his head from right to left as far as he could, but it was tough lying on his chest that way on the floor.
"Nick? What'd you do to him?"
His voice came out in a husky croak. The man didn't even seem to hear him.
"Look, yes, it was bad. Me and Melissa had been married going on 13 years this coming January. That's a long time, right? We had our ups and downs. We had times where we'd fight, sometimes real bad. But things was all right for the most part, even if we never did have any kids."
Calvin heard the man light up yet another cigarette. There was the sound of a deep drag and then a long exhale.
"She had a hysterectomy in 03, cervical cancer, but it didn't seem to matter. We got along about as well as anybody else. She worked at the retirement home, cleaning rooms, and I went through a bunch of jobs. That's probably the thing that pissed her off the most before the other shit started up. I couldn't seem to hold down a job."
He made a disgusted grunt.
"I'm a fucking loser."
The man's voice began to waver again.
"If I hadn't lost the job at the fastener place, I'd have never ended up at Boynton's. And if I'd never worked at Boynton's, I'd have never gone through that goddamn drive-thru in the first fucking place."
The man paused in his story to take a few shaky breaths and then smoked in silence for a little bit. Calvin felt the need to shift his body. He was stiffening up and aching. He stretched out as quietly as he could, curling and uncurling his fingers. He moved his tethered wrist to the right and felt something sharp tear into the soft underside of his forearm. He looked up towards his hands. The room was full of shadows and it was hard to see around his arms, but it seemed like a corner of linoleum had curled up some and was now sticking up above the floor. Calvin wondered if he could maybe use that small point to saw through the duct tape binding his wrists. To position his arms above the sharp tile edge, he would need to scoot his body backwards across the floor a few inches. He didn't want to do this while the man was quiet, though. He wanted that constant patter of the man's story to cover up the sounds of him swishing around on the floor.
"So, What happened at the drive-thru?
Calvin held his breath, waiting to see if his prodding would bring more words instead of more violence.
What? Why do you care?
Well,
Calvin stammered, trying to think quickly. His brain was still very muddled.
I mean, if you're going to do something to me, I think I deserve to know why.
The man was quiet for a moment. He stood up and stretched, his joints popping. He moved towards Calvin, and Calvin braced himself for another kick. But instead of stopping, the man stepped over Calvin's body and went out of the kitchen entirely. His heavy steps moved off into the depths of the house. Calvin listened for a few seconds, and then, when the man didn't return immediately, he began shimmying against the kitchen floor, hunching his body backwards. A moment later, Calvin heard the muffled flush of a toilet and the clatter of a seat being dropped, and then the pounding steps of the man as he came back. Calvin hoped that his change in position wasn't noticed. The man walked up behind him and stopped.
It's 2:30. We're gonna have to get started soon. She'll be back not long after dark, and I want to have this shit done with by then.
Look,
Calvin decided to try and reason with the man.
Whatever it is you think you need to do, you don't have to do it. It's all in your head. You don't need to hurt me.
Sweat began to bead under his hairline as the seconds ticked by.
Nobody ever has to know this ever happened. You can cut me loose. I'll go about my business. You go about yours. And I don't speak a word of this to anyone.
Calvin hoped it wasn't obvious he was lying about this.
I don't even know your name. I swear I won't tell anybody about this, mister. Just please let me go. Please.
Even with his hands and feet bound, begging for his life, Calvin hated the wheedling tone of his voice. The man laughed, a short, sad sound.
Son, you telling somebody about this is just about the last thing I'm worried about.
He stepped over Calvin and returned to his creaking chair.
Listen, it's like I said. I hate to have to do this, but I do.
Calvin, momentarily forgetting the man's threat of gagging him, shouted,
Why? What do you have to do to me? What exactly are you going to do?
As soon as he had realized he had been yelling, he braced himself for another kick. But the man didn't stand up.
Well, I was getting to that when I had to piss.
Calvin heard the flick of the lighter as the man lit up again.
You need to hear this anyway. Somebody does. I feel like this is sort of like my confession. I have to leave this with somebody before I cross over.
As the man began his story, Calvin pulled his wrist taut and gently but firmly began sawing the duct tape back and forth on the sharp corner of the towel. He had to keep reminding himself not to become panicked or too zealous, lest the man notice he was up to something. The man, for the moment, didn't seem to notice Calvin at all. He had retreated into the telling of his story.
I started working at Boynton's third shift, stocking shelves. It was a shit job, and my manager was an almighty asshole, but it was work, and that's all I needed to keep Melissa off my back. I worked from 8 at night till 4 in the morning. It was the damnedest, stupidest thing. After I'd left work one day, I realized I wanted a soda. Working at a grocery store, you'd have thought I could have grabbed one there, but I didn't. I was gonna stop at a gas station to get me one when I saw the all-night drive-thru at the corner. I figured, great, I won't even have to get out of the car. The first time I met Chrissy, I didn't really think nothing about her at all. She was cute enough, I guess, but she wasn't nothing special.
kind of chunky, but not too bad. And she had a hell of a rack on her. Calvin wasn't sure, but he thought maybe the tape was beginning to give a little bit. The sticky thread seemed to be separating. He didn't know what he would do if he managed to free his arms, since his legs would still be taped together. But he would certainly be a lot better off than he was now. He continued to work the tape across the sharp tile as the man kept talking.
The first few times we were all business. Need a Coke, I'd say. $1.17, she'd reply. And that was it. After a week or so, though, we got to being friendly. She was usually working the drive-thru alone when I came along. At some point, it got to be if I didn't see her car in the lot, I'd just drive on past, disappointed. We started flirting after a couple of weeks. She was mighty bored sitting in there so late. She said sometimes she didn't see nobody come along all night. Well, then I started stopping just to talk. I'd park out front, go in, and sit with her. At first, it was just for 15 minutes or so. But pretty soon, 15 minutes turned into half an hour. Then an hour. Before I knew it, I was in there talking with her for nearly 2 damn hours. Melissa didn't get up for work till 9, and she was a heavy sleeper. She never even noticed I wasn't in the bed with her. Me and Chrissy talked about stupid shit. TV, sports. She loved NASCAR, and I thought it was the dumbest thing on the planet. But she got me turned around, little by little, and I started watching it when I could catch it.
The man breathed a long, quavering sigh.
It wasn't too long before we started talking about real stuff. I talked a bit about Melissa, but not too much. Something inside me said not to bring her up. Chrissy talked about the boyfriend she kept having who'd treat her okay for a while before taking off. I'd sympathize with her when she'd get down on herself. Try to make her feel better. That's when we started talking about sex.
Calvin felt the dent he had been wearing into the tape begin to tear. His heartbeat, already pounding hard and fast, quickened within his chest. It seemed as though he might actually get his hands free.
We talked about what positions we liked.
The man droned on, drowning in a sea of memories. Calvin was only half listening, but part of him knew exactly where this was going. This story was familiar to him, though the players and circumstances were different.
Really, we was just joking about it. I said I liked it doggy style, even though I hardly ever do that. And Chrissy said she liked to be on top. We got to joking about how we should try both of them out with each other and see which one really was better.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It got to be that we weren't really kidding around anymore. You got to understand, I loved Melissa. I didn't want this to happen, not really. A part of me did. My dick sure wanted it to happen. But the rest of me was feeling horribly guilty. I got to thinking about it all the time while I was home by myself. I'd catch myself thinking about Chrissy. And then Melissa'd come home, and we'd have dinner together and watch TV. And on the inside, I just felt real dark and sad. I wanted those thoughts to go away. I told myself it wasn't ever gonna be anything more than talk. I promised myself that. Then at 4 in the morning when I rolled up into the drive-thru and seen her sitting there waiting for me smiling, I forgot that misery. Forgot how it felt, laying on the bed, sick of myself, wishing I was somebody else.
The man crossed and uncrossed his legs a few times, shifting in his chair with an uncomfortable grunt before going on.
I started to bargain with myself. Well, maybe just a hand job. That ain't so bad. Then one morning, we found ourselves fucking. I don't even remember the conversation that led up to it. There wasn't no kissing or nothing, I remember that. One minute we was talking, and the next minute I was on the stool behind the counter with my jeans down around my ankles, and she was on top of me. I didn't even see her shorts come off. When I climbed into bed with Melissa, I thought sure she'd wake up and know immediately what I'd done. She'd smell Chrissy all over me or find one of her hairs, or she'd just be able to look into my eyes and know. But that didn't happen. She might have never figured it out if we hadn't got ourselves good and caught.
The man slammed his fist hard against his thigh.
I felt like the lowest piece of worm shit to ever dirty up the world. Even worm shit was too clean for me. I felt like I was just this jelly of guilt and shame, and my heart was broken. I kept looking at pictures of Melissa, and my chest felt like it was splitting in half. I hated myself. I don't know why people do this to themselves.
Calvin, still sawing away at the duct tape, found himself thinking of the situation with Elaine. He found himself sympathizing just the tiniest bit with the man, in spite of everything.
I swore I wasn't going to do it again. I was never going to go back to that drive-thru so long as I lived. And that would be that. I made a firm decision, and it lasted me all the way through my shift that night. Then, as I was driving home, I saw the lights on the drive-thru, and my dick popped up and said, "Ah, hell, you already done it once, you might as well do it again." I disagreed with my dick, but I did decide to pull through just to get my soda. I wouldn't stop. I'd tell Chrissy that Melissa was suspicious and I couldn't do it again. When I got in there, it wasn't Chrissy working. It was the other guy. He got me my Coke and gave me a wink when he handed it to me. The next night, I didn't even think twice. Chrissy was working. She had on this shirt with a real deep V-neck, and when I pulled up, she put her hands on my open window and leaned over. Her tits just about fell out of her shirt right into my face. And next thing you know, we were at it again. This went on for 2 weeks. Every day was gonna be the last. Every day I decided to break things off or not even go see her anymore. And then every morning at 4, I couldn't wait to pull up and do it all over again. Got to be so we got careless. We got thinking that no other customers were gonna come through. Of course, that was complete bullshit. She was going down on me once when a guy on his way to work pulled through. She popped up from behind the counter to get him his cigarettes and acted like nothing was going on, but I could see he knew exactly what was going on. Shit like that happened 3 or 4 times. We still didn't care. We never thought it would catch up to us. It caught up hard, and now it's still catching up to me. And I'm sorry to say, it'll be catching up to you very soon. That ain't your fault, but it's the way it is.
Calvin's blood froze as the man's words sunk in. He had dug a sizable tear out of the tape and was now trying to widen it.
Melissa didn't find out till Chrissy showed up here crying.
Turns out they had cameras in that little drive-through, and sometimes the owner checked the tapes to see what his employees were up to in the wee hours of the morning. He knew the whole time. The first time, he actually was gonna let it go, she told me. But after a couple of weeks of it going on almost every night, he got mighty pissed. Anyways, he fired her that morning and she didn't know what to do. It never occurred to me that she had her own real life, that she was an entire person of her own, and that there might be consequences that weren't entirely mine to deal with. She panicked and decided to look me up. Melissa worked every day except Tuesday, and wouldn't you know it, that's what day Chrissy decided to stop by. Naturally, Melissa wanted to know who this crying woman was, and it all just came out. There were a lot of tears from all three of us, some screaming from Melissa. She called Chrissy a lot of names, mainly whore. She said whore a lot. I yelled at Chrissy, asked her why she would come here. She knew I was married. She just said she'd gotten fired. She was maybe gonna lose her place and her whole world was coming down. She didn't know where else to turn. Even then, I didn't want to admit I didn't care about that stuff. In my mind, the only person really affected by all this shit was me. I know, I'm an asshole. Nobody else knows that better than me. Chrissy finally left. She ended up coming back twice more to beg for a place to stay. She got kicked out of her apartment. Of course, she couldn't stay here. Me and Melissa, I wanted to work it out. I loved her. Boy, it might not seem like it, but I never stopped loving her. It was nothing to do with her and everything to do with me. Me just letting my selfish prick call the shots for both of us.
There was a long pause then. The only sounds were the gentle creaking of the man's wooden chair and his breathing. Calvin's arms were filled with a deep ache from the constant tight movement of trying to undo the duct tape. He was almost through it now. He had severed enough of the tiny threads that he had created some slack. Another couple of minutes and he'd have his arms free. He couldn't work on it, though, while the man was silent, so he waited patiently for the story to continue.
Poor Melissa,
the man sighed.
She tried to make it work for a couple of months, but she just couldn't get to where she could feel normal and still live with me. Maybe if we'd had kids, it would have been different. Maybe they would have kept us together. Who knows? She moved out and went to stay with her sister. She never even told Chloe why we were separated. Just said we weren't getting along. Melissa had too much pride. She never would tell nobody what had happened between us. She never wanted to look like a victim to nobody. 6 months ago, she took a bunch of pills and killed herself.
A lump suddenly formed in Calvin's throat. He thought about Celia, imagined her finding out about him and Elaine. He tried to picture what that might be like. Tears stung his eyes as the image of Celia dumping the bottle of pills out onto a plate and tossing them into her mouth, handful after handful, assaulted his mind. He vowed to himself that if he survived this ordeal, he would break things off with Elaine immediately. No more putting it off. He would never let his wife feel the confusion, pain, and rage that this man's wife had.
Not long after that, she showed up.
The man's voice was an icy whisper.
At first, I thought it was just a big owl sitting in the tree out back. I kept hearing what I thought were the neighborhood kids hollering and playing outside, but I realized that couldn't be right, because it was always after midnight. I lost my job at Boynton's, and I sleep most of the day now.
Most nights I can't get to sleep because I've been out cold all day. So I'm up watching TV and smoking cigarettes and just trying not to think. I finally happened to look out the window one night to try and figure out who was making all that goddamn noise. And I saw her. Like I said, I thought she was an owl. A humongous one. She was perched in the tree out back. I seen a shadow against the moon. Looked like she was as big as a kindergartner. Round at the top, kind of feathery outline. And I could just make out her eyes. Big, round eyes. When I seen it, I thought, holy shit, I ought to take a picture of that. I went to get my phone, and when I come back, she was gone. The next night, I heard the noises again, and I went to the window. I could see her shape out there in the tree. Weird thing was, the sounds were clearer. They sounded like singing. Like a beautiful lady singing a beautiful song. It sort of hypnotized me, I guess. I went to the back door and opened it and just stood there listening. I started to understand the words. It was saying, "Open up and let me care for you. Ask me to come in." It was like what you think a songbird would sound like if it could speak English. Not one of those obnoxious parrots, but a canary or something like that. I think I thought I was dreaming. Otherwise, I would have known something was terribly wrong with that. I would never have said, "Come in and take care of me," if I'd have thought that it was real. But I did say it. And it wasn't even 2 seconds later that she shot through the door like a bolt of lightning and hit me in my chest.
Suddenly, Calvin felt the tension between his wrists go completely slack. The underside of the tape had snapped. All he had to do was peel it off and he'd have his arms free. The problem was what he would do once he tipped the man off to his sudden lack of confinement. As the man droned on about his guilt-induced delusions, Calvin lay there motionless, trying to think of a way to use the opportunity as a means to escape.
"She wasn't no owl."
He twisted in his squeaking chair to lean against the table.
"She kinda had some features that you might say were owl-like, but really she was a thing all to herself. She's like a woman. If you look at her from certain angles, she's kind of pretty, but from other angles, she's like some disgusting old hag with loose jowls and wrinkled skin. See, she changes. Not like she transforms, but it just depends from second to second how you're looking at her. At least her human features change. The rest of her is always the same. A little under 5 feet tall and covered with gray-black feathers. She's got wings. No arms. Just dirty, foul-smelling wings."
The man's words were coming faster now, and his quavering voice had risen in pitch to a whine.
"She's got tits in the front and they're big and round, and maybe you think that sounds good. Maybe sometimes it even looks good. Maybe that's part of what makes it so bad. Maybe sometimes you catch yourself checking them out even though you know what they're really like up close. Long, chapped, leathery nipples, black veins crisscrossing them like spider webs. The smell. Everything about her has a smell. Like a gas station bathroom where somebody went in and shit all over the place. Not just in the toilet, but all over the walls and the floor, and then instead of cleaning it up, they just piled a bunch of bags of garbage in there and closed it off for a couple of months. That's the way she smells."
"That's very descriptive," Calvin heard himself reply. His addled brain was having trouble coming up with a plan that didn't end with the man pinning him to the floor before he could untie his legs. He didn't want to push the man into whatever gruesome act of torture he had planned, but Calvin also didn't want to waste this chance to outsmart his captor. He tried to slow his racing thoughts down to a flow that he could manage. The man made a "hmph" sound and went on.
"Her legs are these little stumpy thighs that end in scaly clawed toes like a chicken, but fleshier, thicker. I don't even want to tell you about the place between those legs. I won't. I won't say out loud what it's like. Jesus, no, I won't."
His voice cracked with emotion and a few desperate sobs escaped his lips.
"On the front, her face, tits, belly, and legs are like a person. On her back, from top to tail, she's all feathers. She's a monster, I guess. I never heard of nothing like her, though she said I should have heard of her. She asked me if I knew who she was. She said she was famous. I wasn't even able to answer her. I couldn't even say real words. I thought I'd finally snapped and gone crazy. She told me her name was Celino. She said that men had wrote poems about her, but that she'd been around long before people had started writing poems. She told me that her and other things like her, and other things besides, came into being around the same time that people decided that there were such things as right and wrong. When she busted through the door, she knocked me to the ground. After she had told me who she was, she crawled up on top of me and started using those sharp nails on her feet to rip my clothes off. She cut my legs and belly up pretty bad in the process, and there was blood running everywhere. In a beautiful chirping voice, she said, 'Timmy, Timmy, you like fucking so much. I'm gonna give you some fucking you won't ever forget.' And that's just what she done."
The man's voice choked up again with tears, and he was unable to speak for a moment. He began to make strange keening and humming sounds, and Calvin thought that this might be the time to make his move. But after a few seconds, the man got himself back under control.
"Oh, Lord. Oh, dear Jesus, when she does it."
Calvin heard the man tapping his fingers rapidly against the table.
"I watched my kid brother die from leukemia when I was 14 and he was 11. I got the living shit kicked out of me by a group of assholes one night behind Murphy's Pub. So bad I wound up in the hospital for 2 days and almost lost my right eye. I went through all that shit with Melissa and Chrissy. And I tell you, boy, all of that put together didn't count for half as bad as what she did to me on that floor. What she's done to me every night for the past 3 months."
The man seemed like he was going to start weeping again, but he kept it together with some effort. Calvin still hadn't been able to see the man from the knees up. At least now he knew the man's name was Timmy.
"The worst thing about it is that part of me kind of likes it. Not really, though. Not the real me. She presses down against me, presses her chest on mine and starts wiggling around like a worm or a bug. Then she scooches down towards my... She scoots down and climbs on top and she starts riding me like some kind of wild turkey, making these awful squalling, moaning sounds. I can't explain what it feels like. It just goes on and on and on for what seems like hours until you finally finish. But it don't feel good. It hurts. It hurts your body, first of all. But worse, it hurts your mind and your heart. Makes you feel like every person you've ever loved has decided to come in and use you as their own personal human toilet. Because that's what you are.
He paused for a beat.
At least, that's as close as I can get to what it feels like.
Calvin realized he had been holding his breath through most of Timmy's story. He let it out in a rush, blowing tiny tumbleweeds of dust across the dirty floor.
Timmy, I don't think you deserve that, no matter what you've done.
Suddenly, Timmy stood up from his chair.
What? You don't know me, you fat fuck.
He stomped over to where Calvin lay.
You don't know shit about me except what I've told you. You think I'm just some dumb redneck psycho who's gonna tear your guts out of your fat belly?
Calvin sputtered, terrified at the way Timmy was screaming.
No! No, that's not what I think at all!
You think that I'm so bug shit crazy that I don't know about you getting the tape off your wrists?
Calvin's heart seemed to shoot like a pinball from his chest up to the middle of his throat. Timmy chuckled.
Yeah, you didn't think I knew that, did you?
Suddenly, Calvin felt rough, strong hands grasp him by his upper arms as he was lifted off the floor and flipped over onto his back. He found himself looking up at his captor for the first time. Timmy's face was a gaunt block of jutting cheekbones and looming shadowed brows. A thin parchment of pale, dry skin had been stretched tightly over it, topped with a drift of fine, wheat-colored hair. He was tall and scrawny, drowning in his blue work shirt. Skinny as he was, Timmy was alarmingly strong. It felt like Calvin's arms were being squeezed between vice grips. His heart sank as the will to escape drained out of him, replaced with a feeling of calm resignation that cooled his blood. He didn't even try to struggle. Timmy leaned his face in close to Calvin's. His lips were chapped. His breath was hot and foul.
Well, guess what, shithead? You've seen too many movies. I ain't gonna do none of that shit to you.
Calvin blinked stupidly.
What?
I said I ain't gonna cut you up. I'm not gonna kill you.
Calvin's brain was suddenly backpedaling.
What? I mean, that's great.
He looked up into the stern face hanging above him.
Then what are you going to do?
Timmy let go of Calvin's arms, dropping him gracelessly to the floor on his back. The tall, thin man turned around and reached out to a shelf between the counter and the doorway. He grabbed a shiny roll of duct tape and a pair of scissors. When Calvin saw what Timmy had, he started kicking and bucking on the floor, waving his arms, trying to find any available purchase with which to pull himself up and away. His frenzied flailings were no good, though, and Timmy squatted down onto his meaty chest. Calvin's head smacked against the floor as Timmy hit him hard across the face with his huge open palm. Calvin tried to retaliate by swinging his fist through the air in Timmy's direction. He connected one glancing blow off his captor's shoulder, but all he really managed to do was allow Timmy to grab each of his wrists, pull them together, and hold them tight against his chest under one hooked elbow while he cut a long swatch of tape off from the roll.
I should gouge your fucking eyes out for pulling that shit.
Timmy wrapped the tape around Calvin's wrist several times as Calvin struggled to pull away. After a few moments, Calvin's wrists were bound again. Timmy stood up, leaving Calvin on his back to stare up into the small spare kitchen. He could see the old wooden table and chair where Timmy had been sitting, and he could see out the doorway into the hallway beyond. He could also see the body of Nick the Carpenter propped up in the opposite corner by the doorway. His bare chest was streaked with drying blood that oozed from ragged, crusting wounds. Calvin's eyes widened, and he began to whimper. Timmy set the tape and scissors back on the shelf and made his way over to the table. He plopped down in his squeaking chair with a sigh and grabbed up his pack of cigarettes.
Jesus, boy, won't you cut that shit out? It ain't helping nobody, least of all you.
He popped a cigarette between his lips and lit it, dragging on it with a grimace.
Besides, you can't be that upset to see that kid dead. That's the kind of asshole that'd smile and wave at you after fucking your wife.
Calvin watched Timmy sit and smoke for a moment, and then spoke.
Mister... Timmy? What are you going to do with me? Please don't hurt me. I've got a baby on the way. A wife. Please. Please let me go.
Timmy looked at Calvin with sad, pitying eyes.
Partner, I can't do that. In fact, after I get done with this cigarette, I believe we're going to have to get started. And this is going to take a little while.
What?
Calvin lifted his feet and slammed them to the floor in frustration.
What, goddammit? What? What are you going to do? Tell me right now.
Well, I'm going to do to you what Celino does to me most every night.
Calvin's eyes grew wide with shock and disgust. When Timmy saw his captive's expression, he laughed darkly.
wait now. I ain't gonna fuck you. There's something she does that's even worse.
Timmy leaned back in his chair and looked up at the ceiling, letting smoke drift out of his open mouth.
See, this whole thing with Celino is more than some monster haunting me. I can't die. Bet you don't believe that, but it's true. I've tried to kill myself 7 times since she come to me. And every time, I wake up like I passed out drunk and I'm still alive. Pills, gun, slit wrists. None of it took. I cannot die. You might think that sounds pretty great, except here's the crux of the thing. She won't let me eat. I go down to the store to buy some food. I bring it back here and she shows up and takes it all away. She swallows it all whole and I can't do nothing about it. I can't fight her. She does this thing where she sticks something in me like a stinger, and it paralyzes me. It's how she keeps me still when I try to fight her off when... Except I don't fight that much no more. No use. If I try to go out and sneak food while she's away during the day, I just vomit it back up or I can't even swallow it. Can't choke it down. It just sticks in my throat like a big dry ball of dirt. I haven't eaten since she got here.
His eyes welled up with tears.
Well, I haven't eaten anything except what she feeds me.
What does she feed you?
Calvin asked, unable to help himself.
Sometimes you hear on the news about somebody just up and disappearing. They say that police are looking for a missing man whose family ain't seen him in days. Sometimes they find those guys, but sometimes they don't find them. Some of the ones they don't find are the ones that Celino brings back here. It don't happen every night. Sometimes she just comes in and fucks me and makes me talk about all the bad things I've done. And she puts pictures in my head. pictures of Melissa. Melissa taking those pills one by one in her little room at her sister's place. The TV on in the background playing Wheel of Fortune.
His voice started to crack and melt.
She's crying. Oh my God, Melissa's crying so bad and she looks so hurt, so lost, and she's just eating them pills and washing them down with gin or vodka or something. I can't stand it when she shows me that.
He rubbed his hands across his face, looking out into the hallway at nothing.
Then other nights, she brings home strange men. Dead. She drags them in through the back door and she's singing in the most beautiful voice. Like birds singing and chirping, but it's words. Awful, disgusting words. She kills these guys and brings them to my house. And she lays them in front of me. Then she stings me, paralyzes me, and lays me down on the floor.
He took two gulping swallows, his Adam's apple going up and down.
Then she starts to feed me.
Calvin was terrified, but part of him was fascinated by this tale of madness. Before he even knew he was going to speak, he opened his mouth and whispered,
"How?"
Timmy fetched a heavy sigh.
"Like a mama bird feeds her young. She starts to eat the dead man. She tears into his body with her sharp little needle teeth. She rips and pulls and gouges and slurps, and she chews it and swallows. And it goes into her disgusting gullet. And then she hops over to where I'm laying. She hops over and squats on my chest."
Timmy's eyes shone with tears.
"Then she puts her mouth over my open mouth like we're gonna kiss. Then her body starts humping and hiccuping and gagging like a cat getting ready to herk up a hairball. And she regurgitates the dead man's flesh into my mouth. Wet and slimy and all squished up and chunky. She spits it into my mouth and all I can do is swallow it. I can't even describe the taste of it to you. You've had vomit in your mouth before. You know what that's like. This isn't like that. It's like a bunch of raw meat that's been sitting out on your kitchen counter for a week, and you dump in some old chunky sour milk and some blood, and you mix it all together and then drink it. It's like that, except 1,000 times worse.
He dragged the back of his hand across his dry lips.
"On top of that, it's a person you're eating. You're like a cannibal on a semi-liquid diet. And the fucked up part is, I never throw that up. Nope. No problem keeping that shit down. Yeah, I gag and clench up and every little bit of me wants to reject it. But it just slides down my throat like melted ice cream. And my hunger pangs actually get better. Because I haven't eaten anything else in days. I try to go down the street and get me a burger I can't even swallow a bite of. But this stuff goes down and stays down. She does this till there's nothing left. I don't know how she does it, but she grinds up the bones, gristle, meat, and skin, and barfs it into me. And there's not shit I can do about it. After I'm fed, she fucks me for good measure and all I can do is pray to die. Even if I wake up in hell, it would be better than this. Then at some point, I wake up in the morning and she's gone again till dark.
Calvin's gorge had risen and his lunch threatened to come spewing forth.
Jesus Christ!
Timmy shrugged.
Yeah. You never get used to it. Never. And what with me not being able to die, I foresee a long, long life of this. I can't stand it.
He looked Calvin squarely in the eyes. His face was slack with deeply shadowed lines drawn from the corners of his nose to the corners of his mouth. His eyes had lost any hint of pity and were as lifeless as two tarnished silver dollars.
But I found a way out.
Calvin's body tensed with fear.
Timmy?
I've been praying and praying and praying for forgiveness, for death, for it all just to end, for any way out. And after months of praying, I think somebody somewhere finally felt sorry for me. 3 nights ago, I had a dream.
Timmy stood up and walked over to the counter behind Calvin. Calvin heard him open a drawer and the shimmer and hasp of something sharp being pulled from inside.
In this dream, Melissa was sitting at this very table. She had her bottle of pills in front of her and she talked to me while she took them. She said that if I wanted out, I would have to become Celino. I would have to become the Harpy, she said. I asked her how I could do that. Do you know what she told me?
Calvin's pulse was racing, his heart thudding in his chest. The sound of his blood in his ears was like the roar of the ocean.
Timmy? Timmy, come on now.
She told me all I had to do would be to find somebody else who was guilty of what I'd done. In my dream, she told me to check the house across the street. Your house. Then she said to find somebody else, kill him, and piece by piece I'd have to eat him.
He stepped back away from the counter.
Then just like what Celino does to me, I would swallow it and then puke it back up into the guilty guy. That's you.
Timmy, no.
I don't want to hear your story, Tubby. This deal is done. She told me to find you, and I found you.
Maybe she meant Nick, the carpenter.
Timmy shook his head.
Nope. You the one she meant for me to take. You must have done something. I'll become Celino, and you'll take my place. It's the only way.
Timmy walked over to Nick's body. Calvin saw that he held a gleaming butcher's knife in his hand. Timmy leaned over and grasped the top of Nick's head, turning it to the side. He grabbed the edge of Nick's earlobe between his thumb and forefinger, and with one movement sliced it off. Turning to face Calvin, Timmy held up the small lump of flesh, turning it this way and that, as if it was some kind of exotic insect. Then hesitantly, he put it into his mouth and began to chew it. Immediately, Timmy's expression changed from one of dark despair to eye-rolling pleasure. He worked the morsel around in his mouth. He opened his eyes and grinned at Calvin.
Boy, I haven't been able to chew and swallow my own food for months. You don't know how sad it's gonna make me to bring it back up, but it's gotta be done. We'll do this, bite by bite.
He swung a leg over Calvin, straddling him, and dropped down, pinning his captive's bound arms. Calvin grunted as Timmy's weight, slight though it was, crashed down onto him. Timmy dropped the butcher's knife to the floor beside him and began rocking back and forth. His eyes rolled up to the whites as his body started to convulse. Gagging and choking sounds began to work their way up to his mouth from the depths of his digestive tract. He leaned forward, slipping his fingers between Calvin's clenched lips. Timmy yanked and tore, trying to pry open Calvin's mouth. His nails scraped against the soft pink meat of Calvin's gums, drawing blood. Without meaning to, Calvin opened his mouth to cry out, and Timmy was able to get his fingers in and behind Calvin's teeth. Timmy yanked Calvin's mouth open and leaned forward. Calvin's body strained and heaved as he tried to pull his face away, but Timmy was too strong. Timmy's face dipped towards Calvin's open mouth. At that moment, the sound of someone pounding on a door came from beyond the kitchen. Timmy sat up, still holding Calvin's mouth open. Calvin tried to scream for help. He drummed his feet against the floor and did his best to holler, but with his lips unable to open and close, all that came out was a reedy, breathy.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There was no way anyone would hear that. On the other side of the pounding came a stern voice.
Police, open up, please.
Timmy's eyes widened with wounded terror, his lips peeling back in a terrible grimace. He looked over his shoulder and out the kitchen doorway, neither answering nor getting up off of Calvin. The pounding came again, harder this time.
This is the police. Open the door right now.
Timmy looked frantically down into Calvin's eyes. Tears began to roll down into the hollows of his grizzled cheeks. He leaned over slowly and picked the butcher knife up from where he had dropped it. Calvin tensed in anticipation of being stabbed or slashed with it. He thought of Celia and knew she meant everything to him. I love you, Celia. He tried to send the thought out to her. I'm so sorry. Then came the sounds of the front door crashing in and heavy footsteps thudding across the room. From just outside of the kitchen doorway, Calvin saw the cop speaking to Timmy, his gun clutched in his hands. Two more officers were standing just behind him, their guns drawn.
Sir, put the weapon down. Put your hands behind your head and kneel face down on the floor.
Timmy just sat there, straddling Calvin's chest, the knife clutched in his hand. He made no move to put it down. He stared up at the policeman, a look of curiosity dawning on his face.
Sir, I said put the weapon down.
Calvin watched him point the gun at Timmy. Timmy continued to ignore the order to put down his knife. He turned and looked at Calvin. A small, hopeful smile twitched at the corner of his mouth.
I hope this works,
he whispered.
I'm not going to tell you again. Put the knife...
Before the officer could finish his demand, Timmy stood up abruptly, raising the knife over his head and charged forward. There were two loud but undramatic cracks as the cop's gun went off, and Timmy collapsed in a heap on the ground, the knife clattering to the floor. As Calvin watched, Timmy turned his head slowly towards him and smiled, a thin drizzle of blood and saliva oozing from the corner of his mouth and pulling on the towel.
I think it worked.
Timmy looked up at the ceiling and closed his eyes. He did not move. It was a month after his ordeal in Timmy's kitchen, and Calvin found himself looking out his front window. It was sometime in the dark hours between midnight and dawn. He was looking to the now abandoned house across the street. It was built in the exact same style as his. Its yard was equally shabby, its driveway and sidewalk just as warped with weeds growing up through the cracks. He had never thought about it or noticed it before the day he woke up inside of it, but now he thought about it every day. He found out later that an electric company worker reading meters had seen Timmy creeping around Calvin's house that day and then had heard what he thought was screaming a little while later and called the police. When the loan officer arrived, he found Calvin's house empty, but there was a trail of blood splatters that had led from Calvin's doorway to the house across the street. This was how Calvin had been rescued. Calvin often wondered if the blood trail had been from him or from Nick. It didn't seem like it should matter, but somehow, to him, it did. He felt a heavy blanket of guilt every time he thought of the young carpenter. He tried not to picture Nick's body slumped in the corner of the dirty little kitchen. His death had saved Calvin's life. No matter what Timmy said, Calvin knew that in the end, when Timmy realized his plan hadn't changed anything, he would certainly have murdered Calvin there on the tile of his kitchen floor. Perhaps he would have gone on to kill others. It was possible that Nick's death had saved many lives. Celia was asleep in their bedroom, snoring softly on her side, her pregnant belly pushing over onto Calvin's side. He had gotten up to pee and found himself drawn to the front window as he so often was these days. As he looked out into the silent shadows that draped the street, he thought about Elaine again. Tomorrow, he told himself. This time I'm really going to end it. For sure tomorrow. No more putting it off. He felt his chest tighten with remorse. Then he heard the sound. It was very faint, like a radio somewhere off down the street. It was some kind of music, but he couldn't make out the words. He leaned his forehead up against the glass of the window and strained to hear it better. It was singing. Something about the sound of it chilled him deep inside and he shivered. He turned to look in the direction that it was coming from, and that's when he saw the shape in the old dead tree in his front yard. He stepped hastily back from the window, nearly tripping over his own feet, a strangled little gasp popping out of his mouth. He had never actually seen an owl in real life, but he had seen hundreds of them on TV and at the zoo. It perched on one of the hanging twisted limbs. He started to go back to the window to check again, and then suddenly decided against it. It was just a nightbird looking for food, and the singing was just someone's car radio. He told himself he didn't hear it anymore, even though he knew that he did. Calvin backed away from the window and went back to his bed. He lay down next to his wife and put his hand on her warm belly. Tomorrow, I promise. I'll fix it tomorrow. And that was Celino by R.K. Combrink. A good reminder that the best day to quit is always tomorrow. A little about the author. R.K. Combrink is a writer and artist who lives in Cincinnati, Ohio with his wife Elise and two sons, Colin and Cole. He's a founding cast member of the popular horror podcast Night of the Living Podcast. He likes his iced tea unsweet, but I don't hold that against him. And he genuinely believes in Sasquatch. Thanks, RK.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit SimplyScaryPodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I guess this is where we part ways, at least till tomorrow. As always, Chester and I will be at the Weekend Abode over at the Sinister Somnolent YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed, what can I say? You're only half a fan. That's right, boy. Chester's there too. So grab a drink for the road, friend, and may the wind be at your back, and may the road rise up to meet you. May the rains fall softly on your fields, and all that happy horseshit. And until we meet again, go fuck yourselves. Good night, y'all.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.